a family that lived, kind of a backwoods bunch of folks from North Carolina. I mean South Carolina. I'm sorry, Miss Angela. She gets mad when I confuse the two. But these folks were from South Carolina. And Daddy surprised the family one day with a big trip to the big city, because they ain't never been to the big city before. And so he carried the whole bunch to New York City. And I'm kind of like the Pace commercial, get a rope. You know, I don't know that I want to go there. Like, I've got Nancy mad, so I've made Miss Angela mad and Nancy mad now. So I'm off to a good start. So they went to the big city, and they checked into this big hotel. And after they got checked in, the mom and the daughter decided to go down the hall to the gift shop, just kind of check it out. Well, the dad and the son are standing there watching. They ain't never seen an elevator before. And they're watching this elevator. And this older lady, kind of walking with a walker, kind of walked up, and she pushed a button. The doors opened, and she got in it. They're kind of confused about all that, wondering what's going on. About that time, bell went off, and this young lady come out of there. And that dad and that little boy are going, good night. Did you see what happened? And he looked down at the son and said, Baba, boy, go get your mama. Let's put her in that thing. See what happens. Well, this morning we're talking about identity. And we get our identity sometimes in a lot of crazy places. I think today our students, young folks, college kids, boy, we think who we are is what we see on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, all that kind of garbage. That's not where your identity should be wrapped up in. There's some of us older folks that we tend to think our job, money, those are things that we get our identity from, looks. Well, I'm telling you what, Kenny said he gets his identity from his looks. He's over there nodding. I've got Kenny excited. No, I looked at pictures of myself when I was in high school, even drug out some of our wedding pictures that I got in my office. Folks, I don't look nothing like that anymore. I look in the mirror and I see Amos Cross. And you just have to know Amos Cross. That's my grandfather. That's who I see. My wife says, Lord, you better not start acting like Amos Cross, or you're going to be in trouble. Our looks change. I know a young lady one time that got so wrapped up in her looks and one car accident changed all that. Sad. Our money, or our job. We get hung up in our job, and jobs are important. I love mine. But I hope that one day we get to retire. I'm not sure that's ever going to happen in my lifetime. But we hope that you get to retire someday. So don't put all your eggs in your job basket. The economy can fall out, and it's gone tomorrow. Or your money. It's here today, and you can't take it with you, can you? I think I showed you one time, it's supposed to be a true story, a U-Haul falling a hearse. But it's not going in the ground with them, and if it does go in the ground, they can't take it into eternity. So we don't get our identity wrapped up in any of those things. Our identity comes from Christ. And I think that what we saw this morning in the symbol of baptism, that's a great place to get your identity wrapped up in the person of Jesus Christ and who he is and what he's done in your life. So turn to Romans chapter 6. I was reminded that Paul has said some very important things about baptism as we've gone through the book of Romans. And so we're going to backtrack just for a little bit and look at Romans chapter 6. If you remember the context of this passage of Scripture, some of these Roman Christians believed that it was okay to get saved and then live however you wanted to. There's some folks in 2019 that think the same thing, that you can get saved, I'm going to heaven, God's forgiven me of all of my sins, so I can live however I want to. And Paul would say, may it never be. God forbid. Get that thought out of your mind. Perish the thought that you would think like that. And so he did it in a way where he started asking these Christians some questions. And I think baptism is a good place to start. He says, don't you remember what your baptism was all about? Don't you remember what baptism pictured? Do you remember what it symbolized as far as your relationship with Christ is concerned? And so look at what he said in verse 1 of Romans chapter 6. He said, well then, keep on sinning so that God could show us more and more of his wondrous grace. And he'd say, of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? So baptism pictures three things, and that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Baptism pictures number one, and you'll see it on the screen. I told Miss Nikki this is the easiest PowerPoint she's ever going to do. It's just three slides. Number one, baptism pictures, or it symbolizes, the death and the burial of Jesus Christ. Look what Paul continued to say in verse 3. Or have you forgotten that when you were joined with Christ in baptism, we joined him in his death? For we died and we were buried in Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. One of the things that happened when I came back to church... When I came back as your pastor, is I started teaching a new members class. And I've had the privilege of teaching that class one time with a family of folks that have joined our church. And some of the things that we cover in that class are what we believe as a church and why we believe it. We'll talk about a little booklet, and I meant to bring one with me. I think there's a stack of them here called The Baptist Faith and Message. What we believe comes from God's Word. The Baptist Faith and Message just kind of condensed it and made it some one-liners so that it's easy to talk about. We'll go through our church bylaws and our constitution. We'll talk a little bit about the church history. We'll talk about how our church, how we do Sunday school, all those things. But one of the most important things that we talk about in that class is I just start back at the beginning and I talk about salvation. How you can come to know Christ as your Lord and Savior. And one of the things that we talk about is baptism. Because some of those folks that come to the new members class, they've just got saved, and we'll walk them through that, and we'll spend one class talking about baptism and why that's so important. And so one of the things that we talk about is why we do baptism the way we do. And the reason we do baptism the way we do is because, number one, Jesus was baptized that way. He got immersed. He got dunked, to put it in good old West Texas talk. And so we dunk people because Jesus was dunked. We immerse people because Jesus was baptized by immersion. Number two, the reason we baptize the way we do is the word baptizo is a Greek word, and it's a transliteration where we say baptism, but it simply means to dip or to dunk, to immerse. And then the reason we do it the way we do it is when you get sprinkled, when you bury somebody, do you just put a little bunch of dirt on people when you bury them? We don't. We cover them up. And baptism pictures death and burial and resurrection. And so that's the reason why we baptize the way we do. And I hope that this morning that you were paying attention when I baptized Lola, because she came in and she stood in front of us. That represents our old self, our old life. And I put her under the water, and I promised her I wouldn't leave her there long. And we bring them up to represent that new life, that resurrected life. But when I put her under water, guess what? Nothing supernatural, nothing spiritual took place. All of that took place in her heart, in her life, the moment she prayed and trusted in what Jesus Christ did for her on the cross. Baptism's a picture of what has taken place in her life. And it's a great picture of a person dying to self, saying that I'm not the boss anymore. That somebody else is in charge. I don't call the shots. That's what death represents. Dying to that old sinful way of living. You remember the people that Paul were writing to believed that you could get saved and just live however you want to. And Paul says, no, no, no. When we buried you, when you died to self, that old self was buried. I'm sorry, I'd love to have my mama back with me, but there's no way in the world I'm going to the cemetery to dig her back up. That's ugly. And so many of us live those kind of Christian's life. We were buried with Christ, but then we dig it back up and start doing our own thing. And it's ugly. It stinks. God doesn't like it when we live that way. And Paul says, you remember, you were buried with Christ. Now, I do believe, hear me, that when you get saved, that there's absolutely nothing that can take your salvation away from you. Once saved, always saved is the old Baptist term, Baptist phrase. I believe it because I believe Scripture teaches it. We spent a long time in Romans chapter 8, over just one page, like it is in my Bible. Turn over to Romans chapter 8. Look at the last couple of paragraphs, the last sentence there, 38. Paul says, I'm convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love. Because he spent all of chapter 8 and chapter 7 talking about how grace and how that transformation and how that change and what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross, how all that came about. And he says, I'm convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love. Neither can death nor life, angels or demons. Neither our fears for today, our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or on the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all of creation. I've heard people say, yeah, but I can take myself out of God's love. Last time I looked, I'm part of creation. And Paul says, nothing in all of creation can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so I believe that. I believe that when we're saved, we're sealed, and nothing can change that. But it doesn't give us the right to go live like we want to. Because of what Christ has done for us, his love ought to compel us to live the way he wants us to. Because when we got saved, the contract, the covenant that we made with him is God, I'm not going to call the shots anymore, you are. I'm going to allow you to be in charge. I'm going to let you be in control. And so that's what Paul had to remind these folks, is that when you got saved, when you became a follower of Christ, you don't start sinning more so that grace could abound. He'd say, get that thought out of your mind. And can I chase just a small rabbit? We talked about that coming home yesterday from our camping trip. If you start living the way you want to, thinking that I can live the way I want to because I got saved, you better go back and check out your salvation experience. I don't believe you can lose your salvation, but I believe there's going to be bunches and bunches and bunches of folks that think they got saved when they never really did. Because if your heart hadn't changed, Paul said in Corinthians that you're a new creature, a new creation. Old things passed away and all things have become new. I'm not saying you're going to be perfect, but I'm saying that when I sin, when I mess up, if my conscience and the Holy Spirit don't convict me of that, there's a problem. Because every time I mess up and blow it, the Holy Spirit gets my attention. And he doesn't say go back and get saved again, but he does say, hey, you need to go apologize to your wife. You need to go say I'm sorry. You need to make that right with people. And when he does that, then guess what? My fellowship with the Lord gets straightened out as well. And so we don't get to live like we want to. Paul reminded them in verse 3 and verse 4, that you died. You had to die. There was a death that took place when you got saved. You've died to living for yourself. You've identified yourself with Christ. That's what baptism pictures. Well, what did Jesus do when he died on the cross? He died for your sins. He paid a debt. Oh, I owed a debt I couldn't pay. I love that song. I needed someone to wash my sin away. Now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. Paul says in Romans 6, verse 23, the wages of sin is death. When you sin, there's a price for that sin. It's death. And either you're going to let Jesus pay the price for you when he died on the cross, or you pay the price when you stand before him and he says, depart from me, I never knew you. Death in scripture, in biblical terms, oftentimes represents separation, being separated from God. Greatest picture of it in the world is when Adam and Eve sinned, what did they do? They hid. They separated themselves. And God came looking for them. And eventually, because of their sin, they were kicked out of the garden. But you remember what happened in the meantime? God prepared an animal, a covering for their sin. And that's what Jesus Christ did for us when he died on the cross. His death, his blood that we sing about in that very first hymn, covers us. He plunged us deep beneath the blood so that we could be forgiven of all of our sins. And so there's a cost that comes from sin. And if Jesus paid the price, if he covered the cost for you, do you think he wants you just living however you want to? Do you think he meant for you to do that? I don't. It meant that he wants us to live the way he intended for us to live. Watch this. He wants us to live the way we were created to live. He created us for good works, for good deeds. He created us to live in such a way that people see the way we live and they ask us about it and we say, hey, that's all Jesus. And we give him the glory for it. He created us to live good lives. It's all in there. It's in Scripture. It's in Ephesians. It's in several places in Scripture. But just understand, your good works won't save you. He paid the price to save you. You know, if I had a gambling problem, which I don't, but if I had a gambling... Miss Eva, why are you laughing so loud back there? If I had a gambling problem, and I went to this big old bad ugly dude and I borrowed bunches of money from him so I could go gamble, and then I lost it all. And then I went to Joe and said, hey, Joe, I can't pay this man back, and if I don't, he's going to break my legs. And Joe says, that's all right, I'll cover your problem. I'll cover your cost. And he writes out a check and pays that guy all my money back that I lost, his money back that I lost. You think Joe wants me getting on an airplane and flying back to Las Vegas to do it all over again? Probably not. Folks, Jesus doesn't want us doing whatever we want to do after he's covered the price, after he's paid the cost for our sin on the cross. He doesn't want us just living however we want to. So baptism's a symbol of me dying to self. Does it seem like a good trade-off? I think it is. I don't think that we will ever get victory over garbage in our life had Jesus not done what he done for us on the cross. He had to pay the price. When you think about a seed, we tried gardening for the last 5 or 6 years. We give it up because we can't get nothing to grow. We can't get nothing to bloom. I mean, it blooms. It makes pretty bushes, but we can't get anything out of it. But what has to happen to the seed? The seed has to be buried in order for life to be produced. And that's what has to happen in us. We have to be buried with Christ, not in physical baptism, in spiritual baptism. He has to come and live in us in order for life to take place. He had to die first and be buried and rise again so that you and I can experience that same kind of life. But once it's planted and it produces fruit, it's a beautiful thing. And we enjoy it. And it sounds strange that death has to happen before life begins. But that's just the way it is in the spiritual realm. Listen to what John said in chapter 12, verse 24. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it's marvelous fruit. And so we have to die. If we want to see that fruit produced in our life, you and I have to die. And baptism symbolizes Jesus' death and burial. Death is never fun. Death is never easy. But it's something that has to happen if we're going to experience the life that Jesus wants us to experience. And so the first thing that happens, or first reason we baptize, is because it pictures death and burial. The second reason that we baptize is baptism symbolizes Jesus' resurrection from the dead. Baptism's a picture of his resurrection. Look at what he said in verse 5. He said, since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We're no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with Him. So Jesus was crucified on the cross. When I say He was crucified, that simply means He was executed. The Romans crucified people when they committed a death penalty sin, much like we do lethal injections. Some states still do the electric chair. I've heard in some states that hanging could still be a legal form of execution. When you commit the crime, that's the penalty, death. And so these people thought in Jesus' day that He got crucified, that He was executed because of His religious views against Rome. And that's the reason they thought and that's the reason they came up with for crucifying Him. But we know from Scripture that He was crucified because of our sin. He was placed on that cross and experienced that punishment because of our sin. Not because of disagreeing with the government. Chased another small rabbit, and this has nothing to do with the message, but I'm reading a book about the Reformation. Do you understand how many times the federal government put Christians to death because of their views about Jesus and the cross? Go check out England's history. When thousands of people were killed because they believed that Jesus was the only way to be saved. When you check out what happened to Martin Luther, and preachers, 2,000 preachers at one time were stripped of their credentials and told they could never preach again for fear of being executed. And many of them were by the government. And in that book, several places in that book, I've wrote in the margin, could this really happen in the United States? I think it could. I'm not saying it will. I'm not saying that we'll ever get to that place. But folks, our trust is not in the federal government. Our trust ought to be in the Lord Jesus Christ and what He's done for us. And we ought to be willing to take a stand for what He's done for us, no matter what. And it may cost us our life someday. That was free. That wasn't even beside. That was just not even part of the sermon. But what I'm saying is that Jesus was killed not because of His religious views. He ultimately went to the cross because you and I were sinners and sin demands death. And He paid the price for our sin. Again, look at what He said in verse 5. Where are my glasses? Verse 5 says, since we have been united with Him in His death, we'll also be raised to life as He was. Turn over to John chapter 11. And look at what John said. I believe this is Jesus actually talking in John chapter 11, verse 25. Look at what it says. Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and the life. And anyone who believes in Me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in Me and believes in Me will never die. Do you believe this, Martha? Baptism is what we do. Baptism pictures that death and that burial and that resurrection. Baptism is a sermon, like I said earlier, that we preach and we never open our mouth. We're saying, I believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. And I believe because I've placed my heart and given Him my heart and placed my faith and trust in Him as my Lord and Savior. One day I'm going to be raised from the dead. That's what we picture when we do baptism the way we do baptism. I believe Jesus gives us a new life. That's what we say when we baptize people. When I went under, I'm saying, hey, I'm dead. I don't live anymore. I died to self. And Jesus has given me His life, a new life. That's why we bring people back up out of the water to picture that new life that we have in Christ. And we say, because I believe Jesus was raised from the dead, I'm going to be raised from the dead. And one day I'm going to live with Him in eternity in heaven. We say all of that when we experience New Testament baptism. And so, church, we don't have any hope of the resurrection if He hadn't been resurrected. That's what we celebrate at Easter. If Jesus hadn't come back from the dead, there's no hope for us. But because He came back from the dead, that we know that when I die someday, and it's going to happen, the statistics on death are amazing. one out of one people die. It happens. Teenagers, listen to me. You're not going to live forever. It was just yesterday that I was graduating high school. And sometimes I go to bed and I'm thinking, you know what? I'm closer to dying than I ever thought about being born. And for a few seconds, it kind of bugs me a little bit. But I have hope because of what Jesus Christ did for me on the cross. And because on July the 2nd, 1991, I placed my faith and trusted Him. And I asked Him to forgive me of all of my sins. And He came to live in my heart. And I know He lives in my heart. These things have been written so that you could know that you have eternal life. I know that I have eternal life. Not because I'm a good guy. Not because I'm a preacher. Not because my daddy drug us to church. Not because of any of those things. I know I have eternal life because I've trusted in what Jesus Christ did for me on the cross. And by faith, I believed in that. And I know He saved me. That's why I have hope. And so we have to understand that the penalty of sin has to be paid for. You can't pay for it. There's not enough in you to pay for your sins. Death is what sin requires. Listen to what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9. Turn there with me. In my Bible, it's the yellow tab, but you probably don't have yellow tabs in your Bible. But look what it says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. I put them over here, and then I put them over there, and I can't find them. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, it says, "And just as each person is destined to die once," your translation may say it is appointed unto man to die. You young folks, listen to me. God has your death penciled in on His calendar. It's an appointment that you're going to have, and you can't break it. I promise you, you'll be on time for that appointment. It's appointed for man to die once, and then the judgment. And if I stand before Christ, guess what? Because Jesus Christ, His blood has covered all of my sins, He says to me, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the place I've created for you." But if you've tried to be a good person and pay for your sins, when you stand before judgment, Jesus says, "Depart from me, because I never knew you." And those folks enter into a place called... We don't talk a lot about hell. We don't like to preach about hell. It's not politically correct. There's churches that believe that you could go to a place called purgatory, and then you pay enough or people pay enough, you can get prayed out of it. But purgatory's not in this book. Heaven or hell is the only choice we have. And Jesus is what makes the difference. Our relationship with Him. Look at what the writer of Hebrews went on to say in verse 28. "So also Christ died once for all as a sacrifice to take away the sins of many people. He will come again with our sins, bring salvation to all who are eagerly waiting." Notice what Matthew said in Matthew chapter 7. I'll read it quickly. It says in verse 13, "You can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide for many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult, and only a few." Only a few ever respond in faith to Jesus Christ. Church, God never sends anybody to hell. It's a choice we make on our own. He's told us what to do if we don't want to go there. We make the choice to spend eternity in hell. And so baptism is that outward sign of what's taken place in our heart. It's a sign that we have faith in Jesus. It's a sign that He'll raise us from the dead. It's a sign that we paid the price for our sins. It's a sign, it's a symbol that says that I'm never going to be separated from Him in a place called hell, because He paid the price for my sins, and I'm going to spend an eternity with Him in heaven. But the penalty of sin has to be paid for, and it has to be paid for with death. Let's say that sin is like gravity. It's a natural thing, right? And we can't do anything to change gravity. If I take this pretty, I was going to say porcelain, but it's not porcelain, this ceramic eagle, and I pitch it. You thought it was going to break, didn't you? It's really not. Get back to it. It's porcelain, it's rubber, it's plastic. But if I throw this eagle up, what's going to happen? It's coming down. That's the law. How do I change the law? I put it on something like a stool or this pulpit or tabletop. Is the law of gravity still in effect? Sure, if I knock it off, it's going to fall. The only way to keep it from going all the way to the ground, the only way to keep it from going all the way to hell is something has to intervene. Folks, Jesus intervened on the cross for you. And that stops us from going to hell because he paid the price. The cool thing is we can't get knocked off of that. That part of the illustration doesn't work well with what I'm trying to say. But Jesus paid the price. Jesus intervened. He stopped the law of death from taking place in our life. It's still in effect. The wages of sin is still death. The only difference is he paid mine. And he paid yours. If you'll believe him by faith. Third thing that we see about baptism, and I'm through, is baptism symbolizes our obedience to Christ. If you go back to verse 6 in Romans chapter 6, look at what it says. We know that our old sin crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. And so we're no longer slaves. Paul says you don't have to live the way you used to live. Why? Because the power's been broken. Jesus broke that power in your life. And he says that we can live the life that he's called us to live. Paul says in Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ, and the life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's how we do the Christian life. It's by faith. I don't have to just work hard to be perfect. But as long as I listen to and do what the Holy Spirit tells me to do, I'm not going to be perfect, but I'm going to live the life that he's called me to live. And that's done by faith. Not in my power, because I'm just being honest with you. Your pastor don't always want to be good. Sometimes we want to do things we ought not do. How do I keep from doing that? I do all things through Christ, who is my strength. I live in the life that he's called me to live. I walk it by faith. I live it by being obedient to him, deliberately choosing to do what he's called me to do. It's a choice that we make. Baptism symbols that obedience. It doesn't make you a Christian. If it doesn't save me, then why is it so important? We already said that it's a testimony of what Jesus has done in my life. It's a picture of what he's done in my life. It's a symbol of my relationship with Jesus. And the reason I got baptized is he commanded us to be baptized. Plain and simple. You remember the last thing Jesus told his disciples, that 500 plus people that was watching him as he ascended into heaven? You remember what he said? He said, and lo, I am with you always. Right? But before that, he says, go ye therefore, make disciples. Doing what? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And I'll be with you. Jesus commanded us to be baptized. That word go, church, it's mainly for Christians. Go means it's a command. It's not a suggestion. It means that we go. It's a sign of obedience. It's a sign. You know, it's a command that you're to share your faith. It's a command that we're to witness and tell people about Jesus. We've been commanded to do that. And the best way that we can share our testimony, Miss Lola Claire showed you a picture of it a while ago. And she was willing to say, and I asked her, was it harder to walk the aisle or be baptized? And she said, it's much harder to walk the aisle than it is to be baptized. Baptism is a picture of what Jesus has done in our life. Where did the strength come from to follow a New Testament baptism? She didn't work it up. It came from the Holy Spirit living inside of her. The Holy Spirit gives us the strength to live the life. The Holy Spirit gives us the authority and the power to go and to make disciples. Paul said our old self was crucified with him. Old means nothing. It doesn't have anything to do with age. It has everything to do with something being worn out and not useful anymore. And he said, our old life, it's not useful anymore. The only thing your old life is good for is to send you to hell. We have a new life. And that's what was pictured when we brought her up out of the water. Our old life before we got saved, Paul said, on your best day, your good works are like filthy rags. They can't save us. But because I'm saved, those good works translate into my obedience to him, which translates into him being glorified, which translates into people asking questions about why are you living that way? It's so much easier to do the other. No, I'm living this way because of what Jesus Christ has done for me. He gives me the power. He gives me the ability. He gives me the strength. He's my boss. He's in charge now. And I live that way because he wants me to. I live that way, watch this, because I love him. And it's his love. His love for me compels me to live for him. What does John say? If you love me, you'll do what? You'll keep my commandments. Kids, the best way to show your mom and dad that you love them is to do what they say. To be obedient. The best way we show God that we love him and that he's important to me and that I want to do my best is to just do what he says. That's what this is. It's what he tells us to do. It tells us how he wants us to live. So in closing, baptism doesn't make you a Christian. Baptism is simply an outward sign of something that's taken place inside of you when you got saved. It's a symbol. It pictures Jesus' death, burial. It pictures his resurrection. It's a sign of your obedience to him. That you him. Get ready for invitation. Talking to two groups of people this morning before I'm through. This morning you may be saying, hey, you know, I don't know if I'm going to spend eternity in heaven or not. I don't know if when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. Well, I'm talking to you this morning. And this morning, if you would just simply come and say, hey, you know, I want to know more about how to be saved. I want to know more about how Jesus paid for my sins on the cross so that I could have an eternal life with him. If you want to know more about that, would you come forward this morning? I could talk with you, Joby, here, if you want to talk to him. And we'll show you through God's word, not our opinion. We'll show you through God's word how you could know for sure that you have eternal life. And maybe this morning, you say, I've trusted Christ. I know I'm a Christian. I know he lives in my heart. But I've never followed him in New Testament baptism. I tell people all the time, if you can't trust him with that, and it's not a little thing, hear what I'm saying, but if you can't trust him and be obedient and following him in New Testament baptism, how can you ever trust him with the big decisions in your life? You start there. And so maybe this morning you want to say, preacher, I've never followed the Lord in New Testament baptism, and I'd like to do that. I'd love to share with you and explain to you how we can do that. So would you stand with me, and I want to pray. And if you fall into one of those two categories and you want to come and talk to one of us, we'd be happy to visit with you. Maybe you just need to come to the altar. The Lord's laid something completely different from what I've been talking to you about on your heart, and you need to come to the altar and just spend some time praying. You're free to do that. We want you to do that as the Holy Spirit leads. God, I pray in the next few minutes that as we're quiet before you and as we just listen to the words, or we listen to what the Holy Spirit's saying to our hearts, God, I pray you would help us to move today. Maybe you're moving in the heart and the life of an individual that says, I've never trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and I want to. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would give them the boldness to step out today. And then maybe, Lord, there's an adult here that's been a Christian a long time, but they've never followed in New Testament baptism. Lord, they say they just want to be obedient. and follow you in baptism, Lord, I pray they would come today. Lord, others that just need to respond to whatever you're moving in their heart, whatever you're saying to them, Lord, I pray you'd help them be obedient to that. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.